This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and who's here with me today. Ready to throw it down, Ben?
Yes, sir.
Today we're talking about your article titled Wake Up Chicago Teachers Union, which appeared in the Chicago Reader on September 29, 2011. And this article talks about how the Chicago Teachers Union has itself to blame, according to you, for the defensive position it finds itself in with regard to teachers' pay, longer school days, and the proliferation of charter schools. Well, one of the things I found that you revealed in this article is that Chicago Public Schools headquarters is what you call larded with, quote, payrollers sent over by various ministers, activists, aldermen, and state legislators, end quote, to buy off leaders in the black community. If I read this right, you're saying that a lot of the black staff at Chicago Public Schools HQ are or were patronage workers.
Effectively patronage workers. I think that what happened in the mid-90s when Mayor Daley took over the I hate saying when he took over the public schools because he always ran the public schools. But when the state law was changed and he was allowed to bring in Paul Vallis and Gary Chico is that they very effectively set up a sort of a patronage system where prominent black civic and religious leaders were somehow or other allowed to make recommendations and choice of staff. They also did very successful at hiring protesters. I remember there were people in the school reform movement who were outsiders before the law changed in 95 and suddenly got jobs with the administration. So I think the central office throughout the late 90s and early 00s was a source of much patronage. You know, I have mixed feelings about patronage. I think I may have said this to you before. I think to a large degree, it was one of the most successful parts of the old Mayor Daley, our previous mayor, Mayor Richard M. Daley's regime, in that when he talks about the peace that he fostered in Chicago, I think to a certain degree, it was brokered by making alliances with black political leaders and black ministers so that there was a certain amount of patronage. And it was just a happy crew that reigned in the city of Chicago.
How do you know that that was the situation? The degree to which black activists and black leaders got their crew in?
I don't know in terms of quantifying it, in terms of how many. Most of this is based on the anecdotal evidence. So I've never seen a list for the Board of Education that's the comparable to that list that Sorich, infamous Sorich, clout list. Although the Board of Education may be on that list, now that I think about it. I just can't remember.
I've looked at it a lot. I don't think so.
I actually don't want to reveal a lot of the names because I know some of the people who got jobs.
But you've heard plenty.
Oh, I've heard plenty, and I know you have as well. We've talked about it in other instances. I had a very sort of a humorous conversation with an unnamed Board of Education source not too long ago who was telling me how difficult it was to make changes at the Board of Ed because central office people were clouded. And by the way, just so it doesn't seem like we're picking on the Board of Ed, the same thing was true to a degree with the Park District. I remember when Forrest Claypool came over to the Park District. We're going back to the 90s. This would be the same Forrest Claypool who's now running the CTA. Mayor Daley sent him over to the Park District to run the Park District, and his job was to, quote, clean up the Park District. And eyes were rolling because he quickly came to realize that there were some people at the Park District whose clout exceeded his, and there was nothing he could do about
them. He wasn't cleaning them out.
Yes, he wasn't cleaning them out. In Chicago, what you do is you clean out the people without clout, and then you proclaim that you've reformed the system, and so that 4 more years later, somebody new can come in and say, oh my God, the system needs to be reformed. So it's a system that never gets reformed. But again, like I said, I can make the argument for patronage. I could probably make any argument at any time and any day, David.
But it strikes me that in that scenario that you painted, by cleaning out the people who are not clouded, you arguably could make things worse because you might increase the concentration, the percentage of clouded people if you reduce staff and the clouded people are untouched.
Oh, that's a valid point, except that I never presume that any administration just cleans out. My general sense is that what we're seeing right now, for instance, Chicago, at the Board of Ed, at the Chicago Transit Authority, at the Park District, and at City Hall, is a situation where the new team, the Mayor Emanuel team, throws out everybody from the old team that is not part of their team, and then at some point replaces them with cronies.
So that's expired clout for those people to get thrown out.
Yes. So some people's clout's expired and they move on, and new people with clout move on, generally at a higher salary.
So fresh clout.
Yes, fresh clout. You know, I always warn people, never use the word reform when it comes to any change in Chicago government. It's not reform. You're just misusing the word. It's just change.
In our interview on June 10th, 2010, we talked about whether a union should focus on their employer's policies or whether they should strictly deal with worker benefits or both. And this issue is at the heart of this article that we're talking about, in that you say to the Chicago Teachers Union, you guys ignored Chicago Public Schools policy for most of the last decade, and now you're paying. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, well, there's been a change in the Chicago Teachers Union, and they're much more assertive at the moment. But yes, for the previous 10 years, they were a player in the system.
So this strikes me as similar to, if I can extrapolate to the electorate at large, it seems to me that Americans or Chicagoans, you know, our fellow citizens pretty much ignore government policymaking, and they just, you know, show up every 4 years and pull the lever or press the button. And even if they do, you know, if they even do that, till they become so screwed that they rise up, as in the current sort of Occupy Chicago and Occupy Wall Street movements. What's your reaction to that assessment?
I share a lot of the sentiments you just expressed. I remember feeling it very strongly a few years ago when I went to a city hall meeting, a city council meeting, I should say. They were discussing an ordinance, a proposed ordinance that would license promoters. I don't know if you remember this one.
It was the music industry.
The music industry. Mm-hmm. And it was going to hit hard at people who put together sort of small venues, et cetera, et cetera. And city council chambers, a lot of people showed up to protest. They were outraged. And I remember talking to my buddy Mick, the great Mick Dumke. He was with me at that council hearing and saying, this is just unbelievable. I think I actually wrote it. You know, that it's as though these people roll out of bed one morning and realize they live in a tyranny. And they were outraged. How dare you do this? You know, chronicling, I don't know, 10 years worth of abuse by Mayor Daley, and not a peep. So the lesson I drew from that, and it's the larger lesson that I learned throughout the years, is that people will put up with pretty much anything as long as it doesn't affect them. So these people, these promoters, couldn't care less about, you know, TIF abuse or police torture or the stupid educational policies where they just routinely flunk kids year after year, or any number of the great innovations of the Daley era. But when he was going to change the ordinance regulating their lives, how dare you? This is an outrage. So,
and don't screw with their parking either.
Oh my God. Well, you know, my line is you can do anything you want to the Chicago electorate as long as they get their car out of their garage, and then they're happy. If you block their garage, hell will be paid. So anyway, yes, I share your skepticism about the Chicago electorate and the American electorate as large. Yes, sir, I must say.
On that cynical note, we'll leave it there.
Skeptical, not cynical.
There is a distinction, isn't there?
There is.
Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
This is Dave Gloetz. If you want to listen to more of our interviews, go to MrRadio.org or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.